Psalm 23. This is the reading of God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your Word. Grant us an ear to hear Your Word. As we hear Your Word, let our faith grow and let us be more and more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Through Your Word, let us see what our Lord has done, what He has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give You all the glory, for You are our God and our Savior. Oh Father, bless us that we may hear Your Word and understand and believe and obey. Let us live that holy life that You have called us to live. Receive all the glory, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 23rd Psalm. Title says, it's a Psalm of David. And we simply do not know the historical background to this Psalm. You know, what event caused David to write this Psalm, we just don't know. And many times that's better for us because now it's easier for us to apply to us. And I think that's God's intention as He doesn't tell us these things. The Bible expresses the relationship between God and His people in many ways. For example, a parent and child relationship or a husband and a wife relationship. Today, in our psalm, we see another relationship, a shepherd and flock, shepherd and lambs or sheep relationship. And we find this expression of the relationship between God and us in so many places in the Bible. I'll give you a couple places. Psalm 80, verse 1. Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Psalm 95, verse 7a. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. The Old Testament kings and the Old Testament leaders were also called shepherds. But they were not the true shepherd. Thus, God promised His people, even from the Old Testament, that He will send the true shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture On the mountains of Israel, I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. And in verse 23 of that Ezekiel 34, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And you go, wait a minute. Ezekiel is saying that God will send a shepherd, David. But David is before him. So what is he talking about in the future? God will send shepherd David. Well, you already know. He's talking about Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is offspring of David. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the true shepherd. John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Only Jesus is the good shepherd, the true shepherd. He loves his sheep, and his sheep follow him. John chapter 10, verse 26 through 28, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is our shepherd, and we hear his voice, and we follow him. This is why when you hear the false teaching, you could tell as his sheep, as God's sheep, you could tell that is not your shepherd's voice. We know that my shepherd, our shepherd, will never say that kind of stuff. So we don't follow. But when the true shepherd speaks, we hear him, we recognize his voice, and we follow him. Our true shepherd, Jesus Christ, protects us, keeps us, leads us, and gives us all that we need. He finds a lost sheep, brings him to his house, and watches over them, over him. Luke chapter 15, verse 4 to the 7, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I was lost. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. No one is righteous. So every one of us, every time we're saved, there's celebration going on in heaven. Everyone over there rejoices because the lost has been found. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes or sheep. And this shepherd is our God. And our psalm tells us of him. How well he keeps us, leads us, takes care of us, and protects us. Us, his sheep. And the psalm also shows our heavenly reality. because of what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. How now in Him, in Jesus, we enjoy the eternal peace, the eternal rest, the eternal joy, and the eternal salvation, eternal satisfaction. And it's really important that we understand this, we believe. Well, let's look at the Psalm. Psalm verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, that's old English. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Well, first of all, David calls Jesus my shepherd. And that's very important. He's not just a shepherd, but my shepherd. And you and I were able to call Jesus my shepherd. The Lord's shepherd and I have a relationship. And because He's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. There is absolutely no lacking because He is my shepherd. Do you believe that? Don't just say this kind of stuff, but do you really believe that there's no lacking in your life? Or you feel like there's so much lacking in your life? See, you cannot sing this psalm if you feel that there's so much lacking in your life. See, because of He is my shepherd, I do not lack anything. During the wilderness journey to the land of promise, God led His people as their shepherd. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 7, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing." Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 21, "Indeed, for 40 years God provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell." For 40 years. See, they're wearing the same thing, and yet it was never wearing out. It points to the heavenly reality that we already possess, that God gives us all things. And He will never cease to give us all things that we need. And in heaven, obviously, we're going to have abundance in heaven. See, their experience was a typological experience pointing to our heavenly reality. Our abundant heavenly reality in which we have the abundance in all things. Thus we read in Psalm 34 verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want, shall not lack of any good thing." And God speaks us the same thing today. "Do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. He gives us all things that we need." God always gives us all we need. The problem is our greed. The problem is our refusal to be satisfied with God and God alone. See, you cannot complain how much you lack in this life and say that God is your shepherd at the same time. That is not biblical. You need to change your understanding if that is how it is with you. That is your ignorance speaking. You must understand the gospel, how God gives you abundantly His grace in your life of being more and more like Jesus Christ. See, God's purpose is not to feed you with earthly food so that you could be fat or that you do well physically. But His purpose for you is to make you just like Christ. And in that, He abundantly gives His grace. In things that you truly need, you need to understand there's absolutely no lacking in that, in your life. When it comes to things you truly, truly need. Actually, you have it in abundance. He pours out infinite grace upon you. And He still gives you what you need, even physically. You must understand the gospel. In heaven, forever and ever, how we possess the infinite God and His heavenly kingdom as our eternal inheritance. It is the perfect and complete satisfaction and joy. That's how you're going to be in heaven. And I will guarantee you, you will never complain about lacking anything in heaven. But you need to understand that spiritually, that life has already begun. If we understand the gospel, then we will know how we do not lack anything in Jesus Christ. This chapter, verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Picture is what? The perfect peace and perfect safety. He makes me lie down. No one to frighten me nor startle me. Isaiah 17 verse 2b, they will be for flocks to lie down in, and there will be no one to frighten them. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 30a, those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. Green pastures for sheep, it means the abundance of food. The state of security and satisfaction. And He leads me beside quiet waters. Not only abundance of food, but also of water. This is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. And it's quiet water, not raging sea. It is a picture of how we're going to be in heaven. There will be no raging waves in heaven. Oh, there's sea in heaven, but it's a glassy sea. Absolutely no waves. So quiet. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to scare about. Perfect peace and safety. And this is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and who believes in me will never thirst. Because He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me to that quiet water. John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39. Now on that day, last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. Brothers and sisters, we eat Jesus Christ, his word. We drink the Holy Spirit. Yes, truly an abundant life of heaven. Complete satisfaction. Yes, this is our present spiritual life. And this is our forever heavenly life. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 through 17. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is already accomplished, our spiritual reality. Oh yes, He did wipe away every tear from my eyes. I will cry because I'm so thankful, or I'm so joyous. But it just not make any sense that I will cry because things are not going well in this world. To do so, I'm rejecting what Christ has already accomplished for me. Why am I crying for the things of this world? Because He already wiped away every tear from my eyes. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Oh, He restored our souls. He gave us eternal life. He guides me in the path of righteousness through His word. God sanctifies us every single day. He causes us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness more and more for His name's sake. Of course, always, all things are for His own glory. And verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's rod and God's staff is to lead us, to protect us. The picture is shepherding using staff to shoo away the other animals. Our God leads us and protects us. Thus, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though there might be the danger of vicious animals or the danger of the robbers who steal the sheep, God, the shepherd, is with me, protecting and leading me. Leading me to His home every single day. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, be God's people who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh yes, the world might be able to kill us. But that does not mean that God is not protecting me. You know, death is His chosen way to get us home. That's how He chose us to get to that place, by dying. But even at that moment, He's with us, protecting, leading. Now from verse 5, the Lord changes from the shepherd
to the hospitable host who serves his guest. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. God prepares a table. Psalm 78 verse 19, the evil people questions. Then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? But Psalm 78 verse 20, behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? He will provide meat for his people. Answer is, of course, yes. In the presence of our enemy, as we live our lives in this world, God always prepares a table so that we could eat and drink with him, we could have fellowship with him. He's always ready to have fellowship with you. And our cup overflows. Our lives are overflowing with his grace. Yes, that reality is witnessed every time we participate in the Lord's Supper. We feed upon the heavenly food and drink. We feed upon Jesus Christ. The reality of the abundant heavenly banquet is witnessed. The oil points to the Holy Spirit. My cup overflows. Abundant blessings of God overflowing us every single moment. Truly, what is lacking? Verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, God's goodness and loving kindness will follow me. You know that word follow? Literally, God's goodness and loving kindness pursue me. Do you get that? It pursues you. It pursues you. His goodness and His kindness. And he ends with this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our life of traveling, our life of sojourning will be over. We will get to the house of our God, heaven, and there we will be with our God forever and ever. Revelation 21 verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. It is already accomplished, our spiritual reality. We dwell in the house of the Lord even today. Even as we worship, Bible tells us that we have arrived in that heavenly house of God. And we're having fellowship with Him. Six verses. The very center of this psalm, literally right in the middle of this psalm, right at the middle of verse 4 is this phrase, you are with me. You are with me. God is with me. There are 26 words before this phrase and 26 words after this phrase. Right in the middle of this psalm. So that everybody can focus on that. Right in the middle. God is with me. Our life is the life in which God is with us. This is the principle of Emmanuel, principle of incarnation. This is the life of heaven. God is with us. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and through the rivers that will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Obviously, we don't take that literally, but spiritually, there's nothing that could harm us. We'll get to home. We'll get home. No matter what happens in this life, we will get home. God is protecting and leading. Psalm 41 verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, I could read that verse a million times and still I want to read more. See, this is the basis of our satisfaction. This is the basis of our confidence. Our Lord, at the face of sufferings and death, looked to His Father and was satisfied with His Father and His Father alone. And He was able to endure everything, even with joy. And this is what Christian life is all about. God is with me, with us. When we consider this psalm a little bit deeper, we see an astonishing truth. And I will end with this today. This shepherd, to save us, his sheep, his lamb, he came to us as a lamb. The John the Baptist called him, John chapter 1 verse 21, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Paul called him, Jesus, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, our Passover lamb. And this shepherd, this God, for us, experienced all kinds of lacking. He lied down not in green pastures, but in the wilderness, and endured the raging waters. He experienced thirst in the presence of his enemies. On the cross, he experienced the thirst, the sufferings, and death. Followed him all the days of his life. He died on the cross, bearing our sins so that we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He drank the cup of God's wrath, the cup overflowing with God's wrath and his judgment. You see, this shepherd identified with his sheep. Yes, Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep for us. And he is our shepherd. Our good shepherd. Jesus Christ. And because he is our shepherd, we truly lack nothing. Nothing now and nothing forever. And we are able to sing this psalm. It is our psalm. What it describes heaven. But it's our heaven. It's my heaven. Let us praise Him. Blessings and glory. And wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are our God, and we truly lack nothing.
Even as we might find ourselves with no bread, no drink, on this day or that day, as we live our lives here on earth, we are able, still able to say we do not lack anything. Because you pour out your blessings, your grace, abundant grace. And our cup truly overflows with your blessings and your grace. We thank you that even as we go through difficult times in this world, that you led us to this green pastures and beside quiet waters so that we could worship you. We could praise your holy name. And Father, we thank you that as we live out there, even in the presence of our enemies, you're always ready to fellowship with us. We thank you that you are with us. And we give you all the glory, power, and all the thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.